bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Welcome to the big show. We're here to discuss the week's big technology news. That's why we're calling it the big show, and we don't usually stick much to the technology news, but that never stops us. Joining me, what a panel. What a panel. I cannot begin to tell you. Starting top left, it is James White Balance Hart.
I had to turn my camera off and on again. If I present my little Android phone to the camera, it thinks everything's gone blue. Then when I take it away, my little incandescent lamps go, no, you're going to be all right. You don't want to know about this, especially
no,
when you listen to
I didn't really want to know about it.
Oh, Ewan,
I wanted to take the piss and move on to how you doing, mate.
I'm all right, thank you. We had a very interesting discussion about Snapchat before we started the
we
show.
Did. But I am that will be on the VIP channel before you know it. And I've just retyped your name because, of course, you weren't here last week. And I've typed it Jame Shart.
That's that you don't. Apparently, that is not a good name,
Mr. Shart.
No, because that Americans. Don't look that up on Urban Dictionary. It is why we did not call one of our children Simon, Stephen, or Sandra, or Sharon.
Oh, okay.
My older brother's called Peter, and that's bad enough because when he was at school, people discovered that P and H together make the F sound.
Very good. Next to him, it's Jeff Gamut. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
You got strong sunlight, or is that burning trees outside your window?
Actually, what I have is every light that I could find turned on. I have the blinds closed, all the windows shut to keep the smoke and ash from getting in. And, of course, the sun came out, so now it's getting hot.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
So what started this fire? Is it just... Campers
this one or? Was lightning.
Oh, that's natural causes then.
Yes, and luckily for me, this fire is on, even though it's like, I think about 10 or 12 miles away, it's on the other side of the Continental Divide. So the likelihood that this is going to find a way to get up and over and down to me is really slim, but it's still sharing the love because I have all this smoke and ash happening.
Oh,
so it's a little bit like when the Icelandic volcano erupted.
Yeah.
We all got a load of that.
Yes, yes. And this is also a lot like actually last summer because we had there was the one fire that was about 3 miles away from me, which is still burning, believe it or not.
What?
And there's another fire. Yeah.
Are they on just, overtime?
Is it a tire yes. fire?
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is that for forest fires, Colorado has decided to become an overachiever.
I thought you'd live in Springfield for a month.
Doesn't it like snow all winter? Isn't that going to sort of put pay to any forest fires?
It doesn't snow all winter.
Mm.
And it was actually really dry all winter. And we didn't get big snows until springtime, which is when I started tweeting about snows and totally confusing Ewan because I was tweeting pictures of several feet of snow and then all of a sudden I'm talking about ash falling all around me.
There's a place in Wales where there's a tire fire still burning that's been burning since the Second World War, isn't there?
What?
Yeah, no, they buried all the tires. They had something like 2.5 million tires left over from World War II. So they buried them in the ground in Wales, and then, unbeknownst to them, it caught fire a few years later. And the fire is still going, because it's all underground. The fire's still going, and it's leaching chemicals out at the bottom, and they had to build a plant to deal with all the leachate from it. So,
good Lord.
That's been going for 40 years or more, something like that. There you go.
So if Wales explodes,
Alex Fox has put in the chat room, that's called Swansea. Alex may not be in the chat room very long.
I was going to say Port Talbot, but never.
I was going to say, Sarah, can you give Batwench moderator privileges? That's you got, folks.
I don't live in the UK, but even I got that joke.
Next to Jeff, it's Sarah. How you doing, Mrs.?
Fine, thank you.
You're going out on the piss tomorrow, right? Aren't you, Summit? Next week?
Next Thursday, yes. It's the start of my birthday celebrations.
Which aren't for another 2 weeks after that.
Well,
mate, I've had some benders in my time, but I've never had a shoe weaker.
Well, I'm going to Ireland.
Well, that's because you're an amateur, so Ewan.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
I mean, come on, Ewan. You know, come on, get with it. I thought you were good at this stuff.
Yeah, I thought so too until I heard you.
No, it's just it's for a few of my colleagues, because I'm going to Ireland at the end of next week, so, and I won't be back till after my birthday. So,
and it's an endurance thing, is it?
With some of them, it might be. There's some serious drinkers amongst that lot.
It's the East London Iron Woman competition. It's not actually doing. There's no running. It's just milk stout for 2 weeks.
Oh God!
I like how you guys train.
Me too. I'm coming along. Just I can coach. Yeah, I can coach. I might not be
before we know it, Ewan.
Okay. Next, Gazmaz, how you doing, mate? Welcome and return to the big show.
Good evening, Ewan. Yes, it's good to be back. It's, you know, change of job has kind of completely ruined my schedule for coming on podcast.
Yeah, we need you on the back show as well.
Yeah, it's good. It's good fun. It's good to be back.
And the picture's
going
on.
I should be going on a long walk this weekend, like I did last weekend, and we'll talk about that later. Perhaps.
We shall. Picture's gone behind you, I noticed. Didn't you ever?
Yes, we've decorated the room, and I've just not put it back up, so I need to.
It was a shit picture, mate. Don't worry. And last but by no means least, Mr. Claw 0101 on Twitter. Carl Madden, how you doing, bud?
Hello, sir. Have you had that petition yet to keep me off all these damn shows on the network?
No, it's not come around at all, mate. I've not seen sight of it. Well, everyone likes you.
How did you find out? You weren't supposed to know.
Oh, well. I've got to assume he's out there somewhere. I mean, I'm on so many, people must be saying, oi, get that bloke off.
Yeah, but Carl started it.
Carl started the position, yeah. I keep asking him every week. He's in for a shot next week. The week in technology. Where's it been? What's it been doing? First things first, rural broadband is apparently an utter train wreck, says the National Audit Office here in the UK. We all got fined, in inverted commas, donated 50 pence on our telephone bills for an entire year to fund rural broadband, and it's not happened. They were going to upgrade within the next 5 years to 2 megabits a second.
I know.
In all rural areas.
I know what the problem is.
What's that?
Pigs don't have opposable thumbs. They can't use a mouse. They're not good at surfing the web.
No.
Of course, this is doomed to failure.
Exactly.
What about sheep, then?
Maybe we should give mice to sheep and see if they can surf the web.
Did you never read Animal Farm?
I did read Animal Farm.
No, I saw the film, though.
That some animals are more equal than others.
Exactly.
But it wasn't the film I thought.
They need to get this working, though, because Prism needs to spend on the spy on the country folk just as much as the city folk. So,
absolutely, they could be getting up. Well, they're probably more so. They could be getting up to all sorts.
Well, that's a different story, mate. And the incest is illegal. I just want to make that clear. Beyonce has
in
had a bit.
Most countries, you in most
countries. Most countries.
And in only parts of the United States.
That I can believe. That I can believe, Jeff.
Beyonce's had a bit of a running with a photographer band, because this picture kind of went viral a little bit around the world when she did the Super Bowl thing, and it's not the most flattering of pictures, and neither were many of the other dance routines that evening that she used. So she's banned all photography at all of her sessions so she can control her image output. It seems at the same time she's either gone on a very radical diet or she's discovered Photoshop. Because she's not known for being the slimmest of girls. And
looking at that photo, I'm pretty sure that's CG.
You reckon?
If you look at the tape, the shape of her behind her right knee down to her calf muscle, that's not real.
Well, I think that the giveaway factor is the fact that her calf muscle is actually larger than her thigh, which I don't think is actually the case in real life. There's her thigh, there's her calf
muscle.
And she's
obviously being propped up by something.
Well, she's obviously been...
you think?
Yeah, no.
How long has that giraffe look been fashionable, then?
The giraffe... Well, that's a famous pose of hers, isn't it? So, there you go.
No, I'm talking about the legs.
The giraffe pose. It's because of the long neck she's got there, you see. That's. I worked it out, and I reckon those legs are roughly 60 inches long. Based on the average torso.
Feet, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's why she's not wearing any pants, because you can't get pants that long.
No, you can't.
Jeff can get pants any length.
I can. I just choose not to. It's a lifestyle choice.
So there you go. Beyoncé's image will look significantly thinner and more like Rihanna's every day, disguising the fact she's actually a bit of a chunky bitch. So there we go.
Say what you see, Ewan.
No, she's on the front of something in Oxford Street, and I keep walking past and looking and go, airbrush. Pentax have released a whole load of good-looking cameras. They are available in pink with blue. Holy shit.
What?
And blue with turd brown. And there's a black version, fortunately. It's the K500 and K50 and the SR. These are a whole new range of cameras. And actually, if you go to the Pentax website and look at the image that's on there, it's like a rainbow of colours. And apparently it's because the Japanese live their varying colours in their cameras. They like buying fashion statements rather than buying boring black and grey stuff. So there we go.
The blue and brown one isn't too bad.
I've got a question.
Shoot.
And I'm not trying to be a dick or anything. I'm serious.
Okay.
Based on these colours, if this is targeted at Japan, is there a higher percentage of people that are colorblind in Japan than in other countries?
There must be. There absolutely must be.
And really, I'm not trying to be an ass when I ask that question. I'm just looking at these cameras. I'm really seriously wondering.
The pink and blue one, that's just got vomit written all over it.
Yeah, and that's the one that had me thinking, oh, colorblind.
But the thing is, that what really gets me is Pentax have always made good cameras. They've made very good quality cameras. Their lenses are superb. They're a smaller bayonet fit than everyone else, so they're smaller lenses, and they're lighter. But they cannot get away from this Lego stuff that goes on.
What's wrong with the blue and brown one?
I ain't coming to...
We're not even going
to
start.
Remind me never to ask you to do a changing rooms with my ass or something, Sarah.
Sarah, have you ever played with a Microsoft Zune?
No.
And that's why you don't understand what's wrong with this camera.
I think it's fine. I like the blue and brown. The brown looks like it's, you know, the old,
1970s.
Cases, the old 60s and 70s camera cases used to get.
They weren't frigging blue. Nice color.
It looks like something the TSA would pull out of somewhere.
Oh dear.
Wow.
Because of the texture.
Well, if it came out that, maybe the texture, but, The blue, Carl?
Pete in the chat room says, take it down, it's hurting my eyes.
I have to say that I, in some respects, I fall down on Sarah's side because so much technology is a really boring black colour. At least they're sort of injecting some kind of design ethic into it. Rather, they're making a statement, all right, so it's a little bit of a sort of misplaced statement that will only appeal to a very tiny demographic. But at least they're having a go, kind of. I mean, let's face it, right? Canon are not going to make the next 1D or whatever it is, 5D, in bright, shocking magenta, are they? But if Pentax want to bring one of their cameras out, well, why not?
Batwench says that the brown look looks like the inside of a Capri. That will be a serialised novel in the News of the World in the coming weeks, what the inside of a brown Capri looks like to Batwench. You listen to that.
Someone send me a link to that, because I'm looking
for it. He's working on it as we speak.
I'm in trouble now. Holy
crap. The Ford Capri, Jeff, was a car of the 1970s, which, again, was a statement when it started.
Yes, it was.
The Ford Capri was awesome. Awesome.
Like professionals.
Still the longest bonnet ever made on a production car.
Okay, now, I'm confused on the bonnet thing.
Go on.
I hear the term all the time. Is it the front of the car or the back of the car?
Yeah, the bonnet is the hood.
The hood,
And the boot is the trunk.
Okay.
There you go.
Is it a saloon that's a station wagon?
A state is a station wagon, yeah, that's right.
Ah, okay.
Okay, we're done.
Right.
Researchers have managed to create a flying bike. Here you go.
Someone must have really liked E.T. when they were younger.
It comes with a butt plug so you don't shit yourself when you're flying it. Because,
oh, no!
Because that is... I would never get on that thing in a million years. You could fit your hand through the gaps in the grills for a start.
I was going to say, given what you did to your arm on your quadcopter...
Exactly, mate. I could lose testicles with this thing. Once you get airborne with that, you really want a parachute, don't you? And I just love the fact that it's got stabilisation wires that fit either side of your neck.
My first hover bike.
my first decapitation.
That is very special.
What I really love about that image is they've clearly taken the time to create extra thick landing wheels in case it comes down a bit hard.
And that's a really thin neck.
It's Beyonce's.
Yes. But you know what? Buy me a six-pack of beer.
You'll go up in that, will you?
Alex in the chat room has pointed out...
You wouldn't be there to film the whole thing.
Alex in the chat room has pointed out that pigeons fit through the gaps in those grills.
I get taken out by a pigeon.
Chop pigeon.
That's a new meaning to bird strike, doesn't it?
The ad campaign will be taking place in Trafalgar Square. Duck and cover.
Maybe that's what they get.
Pigeon and cover. For. No duck.
Maybe it's not really a flying bike. Maybe it's a pigeon annihilator.
Maybe.
You wouldn't want to fly it in the rain, though, would you?
I can't understand, because the whole thing about motorbikes is that they're intended to be nippy and you can get around traffic. You couldn't do that with this. You go, oh no, traffic jam. A normal motorcyclist would sort of weave through the traffic rather precariously. This one revs it up, bloody wind turbine generator will take him to his doom on a pylon or something.
Absolutely, that was my thought. Amiga have released a new watch, which is being touted by Nicole Kidman and absolutely looks average, but Nicole looks gorgeous in the thing. And they've called it the Lady-matic, which I think sounds like a vibrator.
I don't think we're going to go on this show.
You think you're going to Ann Summers to buy a Lady-matic, not into jewellers.
Maybe this is a thing tonight, but I actually like that.
The Ann Summers Lady-matic or the watch?
No, the watch.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh.
No, I think it looks quite nice. It's not horrific. It's okay. It's got a rose gold finish to it. It looks very nice. But the question is, does it come with two speed settings? That's all I want to know.
Of course it does.
It's variable.
And I'm thinking, I have a great pickup line now. I can be at events and say, I'm not wearing pants. Would you like to see my... It's not going to work out well, but...
Give the love of your life to Lady-matic.
It's a manoeuvre, like the Heimlich, but it's better.
Way better. As long as you've practiced ahead of time.
And the last story is just fantastic. It's got absolutely sod all to do with tech. A guy right here, I live in the borough of Solihull, which is where my house is, and a guy in Solihull has dialed 999 to complain about the quality of the prostitute that he'd met in a car park. He arranged to meet the girl, and she wasn't quite as attractive as he thought. So he's wanted to complain to the police under the Sale of Goods Act that she was not of merchantable quality.
Thank you, Dad.
There you go. And actually, what's really cool is that the police have actually issued the sound file. The 999 call.
Yeah, hello. Can I have the police, please?
Okay, yeah, what's happened, please?
Well, basically, I need police assistance.
No, you need to tell me what's going on first. It sounds like there's more to it than that.
Here we go. Okay, then. I'll what's it called? I think she's calmed down now. She's got her knickers in a twist over something or another.
What's happened, then? Something's obviously happened.
What's happened is basically this woman, she's like basically advertising the newspaper for like, you know, like private services like massages and stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
And basically, when I've come here, she's like misdescribed herself and she's like misrepresented herself, yeah?
I want to log off this
before she makes wild accusations.
I just want to get this clear in my head.
Hold on a sec, let me give you a registration number in case, you know, that's the only trace I've got of her. One sec. She's advertised herself in the, what's it called, in the private section for personal services and stuff like that, yeah?
Yeah,
what's and stuff like
basically.
That.
So I've arranged a meeting with her, but beforehand I've asked for a description. I've got to give me an honest description, otherwise when I get there, I'm not going to use your services. Which is, there's nothing against the law in that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Basically, she's misdescribed herself, misrepresented herself totally, yeah. Basically, she was angry, like, because obviously she thinks I owe her a living or something, you know what I mean?
And she stole, apparently she stole his car keys and ran off with them and then threw them back to him. And he rang up to the police complaint, and the police then had to explain to him that the only person that had done anything illegal that night was him for solicitation. There we go.
I sound really different on the phone, don't I?
Yeah. Actually.
Yeah, Carl, you know, it's a trait.
No, actually, you don't, no.
When you started playing that clip, I thought, this guy's voice sounds like it's disguised. But then I just realised it was a Sully Hill accent.
No, 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 it's disguised, I think. But it's, Fritz in the chat room has put caveat emptor, mate. And and Windride has put in the chat room, that sounds like Tony Blunt off the F1 show.
You know, it sounded to me like a sketch from Little Britain.
Yeah, it could be. Actually, that could be soon. That could be in the next series.
And I was actually waiting for you at some point to cut in and say, actually, no, this is from Little Britain. Because really sounded like something from that.
Yeah, but yeah.
And he's she's not of merchantable quality, and I am the only gay in the village.
Only gay in the village.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, no, Ewan, before we move on, can you tell the listener how much time you did researching that case?
No, it was a guy called Ali Hope, who's a mate of mine from the rugby club, and he tweeted out the story, and I did. And then I did go up and look in my law books to find out the case of no intention to create legal contract, which is Pierce versus Brooks, 1866. So
I thought you was going to say Ali Hope was the guy on the phone.
No, Ali Hope, sir. A guy down the rugby club, he tweeted that out. So I retweeted.
So, all right. So the key point out of this for me is Ewan has law books in his house.
I did a postgraduate degree in law for fun.
No kidding.
Yeah, about 5 years ago.
Hey, Jeff, he's not the only one. I've got law books here. I've got contract law books. I studied law as well.
So to be fair, I have a law in my house for state of Colorado.
Excellent. And you were a policeman, of course, so you understand law.
Hence the reason for the law.
Yeah. Right. We can't do a tech show this week without talking about Prism. It just wouldn't be. I mean, if you talk about the big stories of the week, I think this has probably eclipsed everything, excuse the pun.
Nice Pink Floyd album cover you've got there.
Dark Side of the... any Prism thing I could find. Right.
Cover.
Before you start, Ewan, are you allowed to talk about it? You haven't received a letter or anything.
Well, no, I have got some I have got electrodes on my testicles, which will be activated if I say anything improper. But that's a different. I pay £50 an hour for that.
Exactly.
And that she's in a different room though because she's ugly.
Got him.
Right, Prism. The NSA has been outed by this chap in who's now in Hong Kong and fearing for his life, no doubt, that they've been listening to friggin' everything is basically it. They've been collecting and storing most everything that you do online, he says.
Not quite true. I've read a couple of articles that have said, well, hang on a minute, a little bit of hyperbole here. The first thing is, he was part of the team that was investigating and knew what their capabilities were, but he also knew what the capabilities could be if they invested the money in it. And actually, to be able to capture the amount of data that goes on through the internet would cost tens of billions of pounds and probably just goes beyond the budgets of most governmental organisations. However, because he's there on the inside, he's decided to blow the whistle on it because these things are going on without people's knowledge, and I think that's the thing he's got the big issue with. And so he's blown the... I love the story, the fact he said, right, I've got an appointment to sort out my diabetes, I'm going to be off for 2 weeks, and in that 2 weeks he ran away to Hong Kong. And he even said goodbye to his girlfriend and stuff, and is now living completely alone in Hong Kong. And that's an amazing thing to do with your... You must have so much of a strong conviction in what you believe, to say, right, I'm throwing my life away and moving to Hong Kong. And unfortunately, the thing that makes me sad is the biggest worry for him is what people would do to his family to try and threaten him to make him hand himself in. It's the kind of...
I wouldn't be surprised to find he got his insulin level wrong in the next few weeks.
Well, yes, he very rarely goes out of his hotel room, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that was a quote was that he was upset because the NSA was spying on Americans. And it's kind of like, the rest of there is a certain belief at the moment, and I've got to say I've seen it with the fingerprinting when I've tried to get into the States, that the rest of the world has no human rights, and that the Americans can ride roughshod over those human rights and gather anything they like.
Unless you're Brazil.
Well, I think they're still probably getting an awful lot from Brazil, but they're just not making them fill in a visa waiver, but in the same way as us. Jeff, what's the take on the States in this?
Okay, the general take in the States is, oh my God, the world's coming to an end, and everything all of our privacy is gone, and the Constitution has been thrown out the window. And while I'm very disturbed about what's come out, I have a feeling it's not as sweeping as it sounds, because for what has been said, which is that the NSA has a backdoor into all of these big company computer systems, I have a very hard time believing that, because if you have systems as complex as companies like Apple and Google and Yahoo have, where you would have to create a very complex front end to be able to get in, that's not something that happens by chance, and it's not something that happens on a level where only one or two people know. So I'm thinking that what's really going on is that these companies are all complying with a series of court orders that they have to, because they're court orders. And so they're handing over lots of information based on court orders, but it's going through a system where the NSA has to request it, get an approval, and then they get it. Now, that said, I don't think this is good. I don't like it at all. And the notion that to protect my security by sacrificing privacy to the government, that's something I've never been able to stomach very well at all.
Mm. Well, not least because what they're trying to do is there's a massive disconnect between what they're trying to achieve by gathering all this data and A, what they can do with it, and B, what the criminals are actually doing, which probably at least half of it is on the dark net or whatever it is, these off-grid communication systems that don't even barely touch the internet.
Why isn't this, wasn't the principle of the fact the Prism that it actually echoed and reflected, broke apart your signal into a different system and then put it back on the net afterwards?
Yeah, and to that, Ewan, I listened to Security Now this morning with Steve Gibson, and he's got I'm not sure how much of a theory this is or whether it's based on any actualities, but what he was indicating was that these companies, Apple, Google, and the like, they're not implicit in this. They've got no idea. They've not even been asked, with any court orders to hand over data. They're actually gathering the data before it goes into their streams. When it comes to internet data, they've actually put a requirement, or they've got rooms which is, and the word Prism is being used because they've got a lot of the ISPs have got cable data coming in, and they're splitting the data and then just storing that data elsewhere. And to the other point, they may not be able to do anything with the data at the moment, but if they haven't got it, they can't do anything with it. So they're gathering it and keeping it for when they can analyze it.
But that's the problem there, that is a purely reactive process. They can only do it once, for example, there has been some kind of terrorist activity or the suspicion that there might be terrorist activity.
I agree.
And that needs to be gathered from elsewhere. I heard an interesting thing on something called More or Less, which is a statistics based show. And they were saying about how if they're trying to monitor one terrorist, they need a huge amount of resources basically to keep an eye on one cell of people. To do that scattergun, to be able to do that for everybody, would require so many resources. It's actually impossible to do that. And that way, if you can't resource it correctly, mistakes can creep in and people can be inadvertently accused of things they haven't done because they haven't been able to to get an end-to-end solution of what they, accusation of it. So it's I can't understand what they're trying to do with all this, because at the moment it just seems impractical, except on a reactive level.
Isn't that the point, though, that they're actually just gathering... I mean, one of the things he says in the interview that's on the Telegraph website is that these people, you know, there is an exponential growth in the ability to store, and all they've been doing is storing. Because the capability of storage has grown, they've just decided, right, we'll store everything. And then later we can then go back and use anything that you've ever said against you to create a suspicion that may not even be there.
Well, at the moment, Ewan, they're not capturing phone calls, are they? They're just capturing the call locations, but they are capturing everything.
Well, they're capturing a lot more than call locations.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Yeah, basically what they're capturing, it sounds like, is everything except the voice recording.
Yeah.
For now.
And for now. And, you know, okay, so... I've heard a lot of people say, look, if you're not doing anything wrong, what's the big deal? And the big deal is, if I'm not doing anything wrong and the police come into my house without my permission and go through my underpants drawer and they find nothing except underpants and then leave and say, oh, great, you weren't doing anything wrong. All right, well, that's a serious problem because the way the United States Constitution is constructed, the government can't just simply go in and start going through information or personal belongings or whatever without a good cause.
Except at airports.
Yeah, the problem I've got with it is watches the watchers? Because, you know, you let them do a little bit, it'll get more and more and more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point from Alex in the chat room saying, you and all this can be done retrospectively anyway. It's been there for years. If you want protecting, you must surrender some of your freedom. And I got to go against that entirely, because you do not need to surrender your freedom in order to be protected by your government. That is absolute rubbish. We were doing it for years and years and years through the terrorist threats of the IRA, and there was never an effect where you surrendered your freedom here in the UK. Not once. And Hague has gone on Mar this week and said that people who are working within legitimate law-abiding citizens have nothing to fear from British intelligence services. That is the wrong statement to make. And when a government officer makes that kind of statement, you know that there is shit going on that is not moral, at the very best, without it even being illegal.
Well, I think it was a misjudged statement, because that is the sort of thing. A denial is pretty much as bad as actually saying it's happening, isn't it?
They're all saying it, though. All these MPs are saying exactly the same thing. If you've got doing nothing wrong, you've got nothing to fear, worry about. But I keep coming back to that line in the Italian job where he goes, everyone in the world is bent to their own sort of like little degree. We've all got things to hide. We've all should expect some sort of privacy in our lives. And the fact that secret organisations can just at a whim, if they so wish, because we don't know what they're doing, just go through your private life and just pick it apart and see who you're talking to, see who you know, see where you've gone, see where you've bought. That's just wrong.
You honestly, I mean, come on, guys. Do you think they're actually, this is the kind of fun they like to have every day? They sit there and they snigger at, at this and that we're talking about, whatever. For God's sake, they've got way more important things to do than worry about each individual.
At the moment, yes.
That's right? True.
But say what happens down the road. Say something, some weird far-right party gets into power.
Scares me, and I agree.
I would say even beyond that, Carl, it's not the crazy politicos, because they can actually be brought down. I mean, Turkey arguably is a good example of that, because the government decided to do something to a park and everybody said, we're not having that, and it's gone really bad. The problem is, who directs the US government and many governments? It is big business. It's massive corporations that have a huge amount of influence in the government. And if they can get some of their people, even just edge them in to get a sniff of this information or at least have some control over it, then that way madness lies.
Yeah, I mean...
I keep thinking back to, when the poll tax riots were going on, for example. If they had technology back then so they could identify people, then go off and spy on them, that would have been horrendous back then. And there's no way the government wouldn't have taken advantage of it if they had it.
Chat room, Alex Rodriguez says, this is not just governments watching you, it's other people. I point to Anonymous. To which Mac Jim has replied, I point to Tesco.
Yes.
Which is true. It's absolutely true.
And Google.
Alex has retorted, no, it's not rubbish. If terrorists don't play by the rules, then you have to surrender freedoms. Things are nothing like they were when the Irish Troubles were on. This is a completely different ballgame.
Yeah. The whole point of that is that the Irish problem was a localised problem. These people are coming from all over the world. You never know where the latest...
Which is why Gaddafi was supplying them with Semtex. That's why it was localised. Gaddafi had a little place outside Enniskillen.
All right, look at the United States over the past few years. Where have the largest incidents come from that threaten life and security?
And it's a lot from, of them been, sorry, home-based, haven't they?
It's almost all of them are
being
U.S.
Cute.
Citizens.
With and, guns?
With guns and well, or truckloads of fertilizer or some form of bomb. But, most of the problems that we're having in the United States with what I consider to be terrorist acts, they're white males that are U.S. citizens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer's killed... 1/100th of the total people killed in 9/11 by himself. And you've had more than 100 serial killers.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, it's, I think a lot of the efforts that are being put into collecting data are misguided, because if you're just across the board collecting information about the private activities of the citizens of your country, as opposed to targeting suspects in a crime, at that point, now everyone is just another suspect in a crime.
My question to you, therefore, is, because that started a train of thought in my mind that says, if that is the case, that they are investing money in this, and probably a massive amount of money in it, somebody has told them it's a good idea to invest money that the US government can ill afford in a lot of respects, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. into this. Somebody's telling them it's a good idea. Who the hell is that? That is better to do that than, for example, to sort out healthcare or any other kind of major issue that the US government's facing.
That's a really good question. And my gut instinct is that there are people within the government that, for whatever reason, think this is a good idea. And so they're pushing their own agenda. And
using
other
fear
people,
tactics.
Sure.
Say,
yeah. And then you get people to fall in line. And the next thing you know, we're doing a show about how uncomfortable and kind of freak out-ish it is that there are U.S. government agencies that are just across the board logging everything we're doing.
There's a point here that Alex is trying to make in the chat room, saying that serial killers are not acting on a political ideal, and therefore, presumably, he hasn't typed this. I'm presuming he's saying it's different, and exactly, says Matt Jim in the chat room. Heck, that's got nothing to do with it. The ideal that goes behind the process of death, no matter what it is irrelevant. If you're upset that 3,000 people died in 9/11... in a heinous act that was awful, and I condemn it absolutely, there's no question, more people than that die annually on British roads, and the budget for road safety in this country isn't 1/100th of the quantity of what it is for defence of the realm and anti-terrorism. And that's utter crap. That's a distension of any kind of equivalent spend on anything that anyone is doing. You want to prevent death. This is about preventing deaths, unquote.
Absolutely.
This is about preventing terrorism for your organization.
Budget.
Preventing deaths is preventing deaths. It doesn't matter what the political agenda is, or the urban agenda, or the driving agenda, or whatever it is. Preventing deaths is preventing deaths. And you are not talking about something which is proportional to the things which kill people. 1 in 200 people, if you smoke 10 cigarettes a day or greater, you've got a 1 in 200 probability of death in the next 12 months.
And how many of those
age that you are.
Tomorrow's politicians.
Jerry Adams, thank you very much.
Thing is, I don't think this is it won't prevent anything anyway. This is, if they're using it as it's intended, as I understand, it's all post. So even the atrocity will still happen, and it will just allow them to find the perpetrators faster. What's even scarier, though, is this tin hat time hit now for me. Is if they start using this information and start connecting dots, and then go into like pre-crime stuff, and they say, "Oh, well, it looks like there's a very good chance that Carl Madden will go off his like trolley and do weird stuff." So we'll stop him before he does it. I don't know, that's tin hat stuff.
This is the fact that they cannot be bothered to pay enough people enough money to do proper surveillance, which is authorised by the courts, which takes too much money because of lawyers charging too much, and that's the issue. This is cheap, it's quick, it's easy, they can do what the hell they like with it afterwards, and that is shit government.
Absolutely, it's lazy. Yeah. Well, no, it's government. Quick, it's cherry picking, low hanging fruit government, isn't it? And that's, but hasn't that always been the way? You know, you get your speed cameras at places where they can get the most money, rather than actually the places where people are causing accidents.
Buying things that will pick the high hanging fruit as well as, and don't care about any of the rest of the fruit, whether it's ripe or it's not.
Mm.
They're not picking the low hanging fruit, mate. Nothing like it.
So related to this, do we think the big corporations are complicit willingly, or are they just having to do it? I think Jeff mentioned this earlier, actually.
Well, they've categorically, just to put the record straight, they've categorically stated that they have no back doors, there are no preemptives, there are no legal requests. So
that's why I think this theory is coming out, that actually the data's being picked before it gets to them. Through the ISPs. It's not the companies, it's the ISPs. Because if you think how much data goes to AT&T, if you can get a line into them and you can mirror that signal, simple. And that's partly the theory. I was listening to it on the way to work, so compos mentis that time in the morning, I'm not sure I was totally.
Of course, it's also funny, the MPs are saying, like, it's okay, we're not going to do anything, we're listening to your conversation, whatever. But they didn't like it too much when the papers were doing it to them, did they?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that went through my mind as well, Carl.
Without any kind of judicial oversight. I mean, the whole point of good government is when it's got judicial oversight. And one of the things that Haig said he stressed was that the oversight of GCHQ's activity is strong, but the problem is the oversight of GCHQ's activity is being done by the government. It is not being done by the judiciary, and the judiciary's powers in the UK are being dwindled rapidly, and they cannot be, otherwise it's an unhealthy society. I'm not suggesting that anyone in the chat room's talking out their arse or otherwise, but there has to be balance, and there has to be a structure and a framework of law that people must abide by, including the government. The government is for the people.
Well, the whole point of this, it comes back again to the Turkish thing, whereby there will be revolts if it doesn't happen. And the Conservatives, are well used to that kind of thing happening, aren't they? Or what they tend to do is they'll make some kind of decision and people will shout out against it. I mean, nearly a month goes by when there isn't some kind of protest in central London about something. I mean, there's ones about G8 at the moment.
Thing is, what can we do? What can we do as, like, just individuals about this? I mean, apart from
write your MP, boy.
He never listens to me.
Apparently, what we can do about it is become Prime Minister, because Princess Bagel reckons I should be Prime Minister. There we go.
Now, unfortunately, that concerns me.
I had a whole pile of shit trying to be chairman of the mini and youth section down at my local rugby club, so I had to draft in the parents to vote for me to get into that, otherwise I was going to get blackballed.
That's how politics works, Ewan.
Yeah, I did. I went out. I've got to say, a Berlusconi style of politics is far more appealing to me at this point.
Well,
in time.
You slept with all the mums.
Yeah, I would do that. I would do that to get chairmanship. I didn't have to, fortunately, in the end, but I would have done. I could have done. I couldn't have done.
Yep.
Am I as bent as the rest, says Alex Fox. Can we boot him from the chat room for saying that? You are as bent as all the rest.
I think he was quoting something rather than...
Please issue Mr. Fox a warning, Sarah.
He's quoting that thing from Italian Job.
That doesn't matter. I still want him to get a warning. What's the point of being a frigging moderator if I can't warn him?
You're not a moderator.
I am. I'm red.
Just send a message over to the NSA. They'll take care of it for you.
Absolutely.
By the way, Ewan's not been Prime Minister for 5 minutes and he's already kicking people around.
I never said that was a good choice for Prime Minister.
Will Green for Prime Minister.
No.
Iron Bridge's answer to Boris Johnson.
Then we'd never get a British Mac podcast.
That's true.
Hashtag has come to Facebook. There's a couple of stories. One was a very good one today on Tech Radar that said that they should call it the cash tag, because that's all it's going to be, is a mechanism of getting more money out of trending topics. But Facebook has introduced the hashtag. What do we think?
Well, about 6 years too late.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to 2008. No, I mean, I've got to say, I think it's long overdue, isn't it? You'd have thought they'd have come up with a different method of trending topics without having to do that.
I just think it's going to make a bloody mess like it normally does on Facebook. Everything on Facebook is going to turn into a mess because people are going to put hashtags on all kinds of meaningless stuff, and it's all just going to be garbage in, garbage out, and people aren't going to bother. All that will happen is you'll inadvertently click on someone's post because they put a hashtag there. Accidental clicking, mate.
Accidental clicks.
I mean, for me, why couldn't they have picked a different symbol?
What would you suggest?
Well, it's a hash, isn't it? That's the point.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, Twitter's created the hashtag. Google have got the plus symbol. Twitter have got the ampersand. Why
is, the is that what the plus does?
Really? What? If you type a plus after something, does it do something?
No, if you do the at, it turns it into a plus. So if I do on Google Plus, if I do at you and ranking, it will turn it into a plus.
All right, okay. So that's
why not use the exclamation mark or something else? I mean, you know, why do they have to copy each other? Come on, be a bit more original.
Tilde.
Yeah, innovation.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So it's just because it's recognised, isn't it? It's now something that's like people know. That's why they're going to use it.
Jumping on the bandwagon. Why not be original?
Nothing about Facebook's original.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from Facebook.
No, yeah. Facebook was... It was Facebook's around before Facebook came along.
There was the first rule of Facebook is you don't talk about Facebook.
I mean, Bat Wench says that it's already entered the public consciousness because so it's it's something that people. Well, the thing is, actually, people used to complain about hashtags appearing in Facebook posts because people would do more. They post to Twitter and they'd have a little engine that posts their tweets that tweets to Facebook, and so you'd end up with ats and hashes about stuff that people have no knowledge of because they're not part of a thread.
And don't forget, of course, Facebook have maintained all of those hashtags, so in the future they will go back. And they will see that you intended to bomb Robin Hood Airport. And it will be used against you in a court of law. See?
Now, I vote for the fact that they actually do a global search and replace the hashtag for something else.
I think they should do something else, to be honest. But then it's in the social conscience. It's exactly right, what they're saying in the chat room. But
I was going to say, and actually it's really convenient because the hash key is just next to the enter key. But that's only on a UK keyboard, isn't it? You have to do shift 3 in the States.
Hey?
It's above the 2 on that Mac keyboard.
It's where our pound symbol is.
Well, no, but this is what's really confusing, is that don't you call the pound symbol...
Hash, yeah.
The hashtag. Yeah. What the hell's that? Princess Bagels just typed something in the chat room I can't even repeat. That's not like her.
I'd love to know what that looked like.
I'm going to say, I have my keyboard here and I can't find that symbol, PB.
It's a U, isn't it?
No, is it? You know more than I do. It depends, a bit more
it's
V, maybe.
That's one I can think of.
If you know what that symbol is as a competition runner, you can send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and we'll issue a prize. Trust me, by the time you win, you won't want that prize. The Supreme Court has said that human genes cannot be patented. This is the most... maybe I'm getting this wrong, but to me this seems the most obvious bit of frigging law of the week.
Do you mean like Wranglers?
Necessarily. This is the thing that I was talking to Beth about earlier.
Ah, right. So bring us your specialist knowledge, dear boy.
The fact is that genes can now be synthesised. If you synthesise a gene which has not already been created, who owns it? And the issue Beth has is she believes that no synthesised gene should be patented because the fact is he's part of a something that can grow and develop. And the example we were citing in a discussion, actually it was a work of fiction, but I believe it's actually happened before, was we saw one of these sort of crime drama things where somebody had genetically modified their meat, wheat or maize, and the seeds had blown over into someone else's fields, and because the wheat was so much stronger than theirs, it blew all theirs away and grew instead. And the guy who owned the big farm with the genetically modified wheat sued the other farmer for growing his wheat, even though it was blown in on the wind. It's the fact that genetics, you can own something which is actually in the world, naturally growing part of the world, of the world. It doesn't seem right that anything that can be part of the world of nature should be patented. And this is just a small part of it. The fact that this is the DNA is associated with a human rather than an animal or some kind of vegetation, you know, or even elements, alloys. Why should they be patented if they can be part of nature? What the reason why patents take place on these things is so that businesses can actually develop them quickly and make money out of them. And as a result of that, genetic technology is at a really steep slope because people want to invest money into developing these things because the results to them are profitable.
Yeah, and
however, if they are not allowed to patent it, the developments will still take place, but on a lower scale, medical, government funded, or even charity funded research. Yes, it will take longer to develop these things, but then it will be in the public domain and usable by everybody. And you won't end up getting with a small number of people becoming incredibly rich and powerful on it. And we were talking about some kind of dystopian thing earlier where we're all being snooped upon. It could be exactly the same thing could happen with genetics, where a small number of people can own the genetic norm that everyone else is doing because it's blown away or everything else. And that's the same for human DNA right the way down to your most basic vegetation DNA.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Princess Bagel in the chat room has run off naked to get more champagne. I'm afraid I'm going to need a picture of that. I won't post it, but I'm going to need a picture of that to prove that it's true. No, I think that
seems only fair.
Gene modification, I think, is the one where you start to argue that there is a realistic economic viability for putting down that patents can apply. The thing that bothers me with patents with the gene rule is the fact that at the moment you seem with technology certainly to be able to patent the idea of something without having created a physical concept of it. And what you're talking about there is you've actually done the gene work, you've created the patent, the thing actually works, and then you apply for the patent. That doesn't happen in the technological field. People apply for ideas for patents, get awarded for ideas for patents, and then just want a carpet bag later on, which is a huge danger.
You don't want these patent for profit companies to get a sniff of the idea that you can patent a gene before even creating it.
Well,
right. Here are the genetic codes we're going to patent.
I'm going to come up with the idea that I'm going to genetically create a shark with a frickin' laser on its back, and you're not going to throw Austin Powers at me. As prior art. No, I'm not having that, because he didn't actually freaking do it. That was all special.
Yes, they did in the third one.
They actually did it in the third one. Well done, yep. Carl. Not sucking in at all there, no.
Actually, it's quite reprehensible what they were planning. This Utah company, I'm just going to read it from the page. A Utah company held patents for two gene sequences that were mutations and served to predict the patient had a high risk of developing breast or ovarian cancer. The company was criticized for charging high prices to women who wanted to be tested to see if they had the defective gene. Christ. That's awful.
Princess Bagels apparently tweeted her naked picture of herself, but I can't find a tweet from her.
The issue with the issue of prediction of liability to get a medical complaint due to having a genetic makeup, there are two arguments to that because there is a possibility the insurance companies could say, well, you've got this genetic makeup, we're refusing to insure you for that, but that may not be possible either because of the way that because it's a statistical likelihood rather than anything else. Insurance companies would just like blow their minds because everybody has a statistical liability to have something. And if you know about it, what difference does it make to the statistics of you getting it, if that makes sense?
Yeah, but if you're holding these patents, and you know, you're charging ridiculous prices for people to find out if they're actually ill and they've actually got this disease and this defective gene, that's just like evil maniac stuff, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and if you don't pay me the money, I won't tell you whether you have or you haven't.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop you either having it or not having it. That's the point.
No, but it's nice to know if you have. So so you can maybe seek out treatment. But well, fortunately, this nice is the patterns that they refuse to give them.
But it's nice to know if you have a statistical chance of having it, rather than having it. The whole genetic world is so, because it's so complex, that it's all down to liability. There are some actually sureties. Have you heard of 23andMe, which is a really interesting service? I believe it's a for-profit service, but they use genetic research to say whether or not your genetic makeup gives you a propensity for something, and you can.
Well, isn't Angelina Jolie worked on that very principle, that her genetic sequence showed up a mother's propensity for breast cancer, therefore she had a double mastectomy. But the thing is, this is the hard problem then, Carl, as a moralistic question to you. You're saying it's immoral to say, I understand what this gene is, unless you pay me money, I'm not going to tell you. But if you don't award the patent, the company then go, well, okay, well, that's it then. We're just going to keep the research to ourselves. Same end.
No, because other people, if they won the patent, then no one else would be able to research it and do the groundwork either, so they'd be keeping it to themselves.
Only for a limited period of time, if they do get the patent, though, and it's in the public domain.
Yeah, what's that, 20 years or so?
Yeah, but at least it is then in the public domain, and as you start to increase the number of patents, it moves forward. In the same way that drug development generally moves forward through patents, the drug companies are able to get their money back by having exclusively control of that drug as they develop it, but once it comes out of patent, it becomes a generic drug on which everybody else can build. It's how you move forward, isn't it? On the building on the shoulders of giants.
And then unfortunately, there's not a huge amount of philanthropy involved at the front end of it. The result is basically due to the way that the law works is that there is a philanthropic end, but that is not the point of why they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean the point that's being made here in the chat room by Batwinch is that most people that work in biology really don't like the idea of what they're working on not being shared, which is true, I would say, for the good of mankind and so on. Certainly, all the films I've ever watched, they've always wanted to share it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can confirm that Princess Bagel is bullshitting. She's not naked. She sent me a picture of some, I don't know, what's the kind of big, wide-eyed Japanese cartoon characters?
Manga.
Anime.
Manga.
Now, I wrote, manga. I wrote in the chat room earlier that Batwench and Princess Bagel are responsible for the use of the word butt plug and vibrator in the first 5 minutes of the show. And I think
they were mine.
They're a bad influence on you, Ewan.
They're mine. I was the one that brought butt plugs into it and vibrators, so there we go.
Pavlovian, my friend.
It's all about the Monet, Monet, Monet.
Oh, God.
We wrap up on a classical note. There we go. this turmoil and all the turmoil that's on the network.
Did you cover E3 at all on the last show?
It was covered by the Gamer Show. They've done quite a comprehensive review of the Xbox One and the PS4. And Paul Wheatley actually set out an image in the Facebook Gamer Show thing, saying how come that there's £425 or something for a brand new PS4 pre-order, and one new or used underneath was £400. So
that was the one on the stage.
That was the one on the stage, yeah. And there's been some games shown, hasn't there, this week for the Xbox One?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
But the whole thing about the Xbox, the PlayStation stealing the move on the Xbox was quite sweet. I just want to applaud Sony. Sony don't really do a lot right, but when they did what they did to say you can actually give your games to somebody else, that was a real masterstroke.
And don't forget that Kinect camera's always on you, watching you. So NSA will be able to see exactly what you're doing.
Carcut. Right. You'll have to slow that down to get that one. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They've been sponsors for a while now, and they're absolutely fantastic, and we're keeping it up. And Craig is coming to the bash, I think. He's the guy at UK2 who supports us. We love them to bits. They're absolutely brilliant. They pick up all our bandwidth charges. They give us all our web space. They store all the podcasts. We've got a massive back catalogue of episodes. I mean, going back to April of last year, you can get all of the British Tech podcasts and beyond for some of them. And we've got a terabyte of just pure storage of MP3s and MP4s, and all of that's picked up by UK2. So if you can, please support them. You do already. You buy loads of product from them through us. So go to BritishTechNetwork.com, go to our sponsors page, use the click through to them, and then come back and get your offer codes. Use your offer codes, you get fantastic deals, and we get the kudos for sending you, and everyone's happy, and it keeps us afloat. Thank you very much. Right, it's that time where we get to decide what's cool and what's fool.
That's rubbish.
Sorry.
Fool,
you fool! I got a pass of the week this week. James, what do you have for us, sir?
Well, I've been an Android. I've just seen that Mac Jim is ditching his S3 to go to an iPhone 5. I've been an Android user for the past maybe 2, 3, 4 years now, and the issue I have with any touchscreen device is the fact that it is an app. It causes me stress to type on it, because I can never type as fast as I would on a normal keyboard. It's as simple as that. I've arrived at, I think, the best they can do at the moment. It's called SwiftKey, and it has all the benefits of swipe, but it also predicts, rather scarily, if you allow it to, on what you type on Facebook and on Twitter, to work out what sort of your phraseology is, and therefore it can help you by offering you some words at the top that might help you continue the sentence. And I will type something or swipe something, and then the next word, maybe one time out of four, will be there in front of me, and I can type it. I can just hit the button, and it's typed it for me. So that's really good. It's called SwiftKey. What I really like about it, though, is playing the what sentence are you going to make left next. And what I'm going to type now is I'm going to type, I went to the pretty little village of
Solihull.
And it either suggests Grassington or Bursell. And I've never... Yeah, obviously.
You've never been to Grassington or Bursell?
No, I've never been to either. But the one I really like it, I visited the... Hang on a second. I visited... obviously, I haven't visited it enough on this thing. Visited the ugly town of Richmond upon Thames.
Hey, that's nice.
Oh dear.
So I like playing the SwiftKey prejudiced game. So expect some tweets entirely made up of what SwiftKey has to offer.
So you've
got another
Gallup. Gallup are going to be using that for all future surveys.
Yeah, it costs. I'm on a demo at the moment. It costs £3, but the fact it is reducing my stress levels, I think, is a worthwhile investment. Very quick bonus. As you may be aware, well, you are aware. I do a radio show called Late Night Loaf, and one of the things that Alex G. Fox in the chat room suggested is that, much like we have a chat room here, Twitter, I find Twitter to be a little bit frustrating because I have interactions with people on the show, but those people don't necessarily follow each other, and therefore they can't see the conversations I'm having with them on Twitter. Therefore, a live, I call it Natter, is a brilliant idea. Now, people don't want to install IRC clients on their machines, but there's something called Kiwi IRC, kiwiirc.com. And what I've done is I've signed up to a GeekShed account, just as you have here. You just put in the URL in Kiwi IRC, the IRC address you want to connect to, and it creates a JavaScript, so it's not even Flash-based, IRC client. And you just go in there, type a nickname, and you're in. And I wanted to make it as simple as possible to be able to get to interact with the show, and that works quite well. So kiwiirc.com.
We should look at using that as on the website, James.
Yeah, it's very pretty. The only problem I've got is because Mint FM has got a lot of visually impaired people on it, it's not accessible. So maybe I do need to find another solution.
Yeah.
So there we go. They're my two, my pick and my bonus pick. Neither of them are passes, but I will be, unlike Kyle Swagger, spending some money on an Android application.
Princess Bagel in the chat room has updated us. Apparently the penis symbol is an 8 followed by 2 equals and the right arrow. There we go.
British Tech smut.
I'm not lying, but I confess I'm a little bit naughty for knowing that. My apologies.
Oh, and Batwinch.
Oh, no, Batwinch's is better.
An alternative.
No, I think Batwinch's is better.
C equals 3.
What does that look like with a cap C?
That looks like the C is just faster.
Maybe that's
like
the difference.
You're a little bit more excited.
That's, I was saying, maybe that's the difference between states.
Ewan.
Hmm.
Do you remember when we were like, we were 18 and we were playing with ASCII art? It's like that all over again.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I remember that.
Ah, the days of boobies.
No, C equals 3 in caps doesn't work at all. Doesn't work at all. The small C works better.
Capital C means you need to go and see a doctor, I think.
Yeah. I agree, yeah.
Princess Bagel gets the last line of the night, which says, I'm sorry I brought that up. But
Mac James is showing off.
Oh, I see what you did there, Princess Bagel.
Jeff, what do you have for us, sir?
I'm going down the audio path today with Audio Engine's A5 Plus speakers. They're small enough that you can use them on your desktop. They're also big enough that if you want to use them for a bigger space, they work great for that. The audio quality is just fantastic. The cones are silk and Kevlar.
Oh.
And after you've played them for about 40 hours or so, that's when they really start breaking in, and the audio quality, which is already great, starts to get even better. And they look really nice. They sound great. And I just absolutely love mine.
Are they analog or digital in?
They are analog in.
Mm.
Oh, I think I want some now.
The warmth and saturation of analog.
I want some. They look very pretty.
I should give people a drink. A drink. a link to that.
Buy everyone a link to it.
Stick it in the chat room and stick it in the doc. Well done, mate.
Oh, man. I wonder if they're available in the UK. But the thing is, I imagine there's something you've got to hear. Well, that's really horrible, because if you don't get to hear what they really sound like for 40 hours, you get them home and you just go, meh.
No, well, when you hear them straight out of the box, they sound fantastic, and they just keep getting better.
And are they bookshelf? Are they, what's the size?
They're bookshelf size speakers.
Cool.
Well, here, I'll take a picture and hold it up to the camera. I could do that.
Okay. Wait for it.
Because I do need some more monitors.
This is good audio. Watching Jeff take a picture.
I think there's something wrong with my amp. While Jeff does it, I think there's something wrong with the amplifier, because I've had two sets of left-hand speakers go wrong. Oh, that. You've got trinkets on there, but it's hard to tell what size they are.
Let me see. What do I have that I can hold up?
No, that'll do. It's fine. We get the impression they're good, and they're $399 a pair.
Oh, want some?
Yeah, they're about, I'm going to say,
15 inches?
14 inches tall.
Yeah, there we go.
Nice.
Okay, there we go.
There's some people of a certain age who listen to this show who won't have a clue what 13 inches is, but never mind. Sarah, what do you have for us?
Mine is...
No, that wasn't a sexual thing, Jeff. Don't laugh. Sarah.
Oh, well.
Are you finished?
Yes, go ahead, Sarah. Sorry.
I normally have a serious thing, but I don't know whether this counts as frivolous or not, but it entertained me for a few hours, and it still does every time I go to the site. I found this website called planefinder.net. I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but it actually shows you a pictorial moving representation using Google Maps of every single plane across the planet that's in the air, and shows you what plane it is, where it's flying from and to. I just found it fun. And it's looking at it, and well, I was like, okay, Europe, that looks fine. You go across to the States and it's like, my God! I can't believe the number of planes that are currently in the air across the USA. And I know you guys over there like to fly around just like we take buses, but that is just unbelievable to think that there's that many planes in the air at one go.
It's a big sky, girl. Country. It's a big sky.
Yeah, I know it is, but I don't know. I just love the fact that, you know, play around with it, go around the world and stuff, and you can track individual flights.
Flight Radar 24 is an app that you can use for iOS that does the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I've got that one, Ewan, and it's, the pro version is pretty good, actually.
It's good watching around Heathrow because you see them all line up as well before they come in.
Mm.
Yeah, and quite relaxing. It's quite amazing how much detail, how low you can actually go.
Yeah,
homing in on an individual airport and see all the planes coming in around one airport.
When you do log into planefinder.net now, you know that that picture that you look at, you do know that the plane is probably about half the length of the UK, each plane. So that's where the kind of...
The planes aren't actually that size. Big train.
You zoom in, it might be, but...
However, the NSA is going to wonder why you're looking at plane flight routes.
I was going to say, and if you want to know where they get their data from, it's the NSA.
Yeah, exactly. I thought
don't go buying yourself a flight simulator.
No, what we were
talking about earlier on tonight, I thought that would be a good pick.
What's scary is when you zoom out and you see one plane mid-Atlantic by itself. And you're kind of like, that's the Titanic right there.
That's the one on the Lost Island.
Yeah.
What's scary is when you're following a plane which has got family on and then it goes out of range of any signal and disappears off the screen.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Are you looking at one flying from Frankfurt to Punta Cana International Airport?
No, I was doing one that's coming across from Canada, from the US. But...
Oh, further up, okay.
It's good. It's got all the flight designations and everything.
Yeah, I know. It's cool.
Funnily enough, my dad flew from Luton Airport this morning. I gave him a lift to the airport, which is why I'm so knackered now. And he deliberately didn't tell me what flight he was on because he knew I'd be on there going, oh, I can see where you are. I'm going on holiday. I don't want you to know where I am.
Good pick. Good pick. We like that one. Mr. Maz, what do you have for us?
Well, we had a bit of a discussion beforehand, didn't we?
We did. Human?
But I'm actually going to go for an audio pick as well.
I've
posted it in the show notes, finally. I might use the other one another time once I've tried it out. I've been using this little device.
Is that a speaker?
It is. You got it. It's a little Bluetooth speaker, which has got an audio input port on it as well. Pretty generic. You don't actually have to buy this one, although this one's been treating me very well, actually. Okay, so why do I use one of these? Sometimes I like listening to music... when I go in the shower. Yes, yes, you got it. You got it. So I just pop the Bluetooth on, get my phone connected, and this punches out quite a big sound, quite a beefy sound. And when I'm listening to podcasts like the British...
I've got Luther Vandross going through my head at the minute.
They've all gone quiet. I just plug it up to this, Bluetooth it up, and, yeah, go for it. Generic portable speakers, really useful.
Excellent. And waterproof.
What's the battery life you get on it?
I've not really tested it, but it's lasted without powering up for, I should say, probably 3 or 4 hours at least.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Long shower.
Tiny.
It was.
Yeah, plenty of time for a long bath.
Like a sultana.
And that's the one where all of you's wrinkly.
Yes.
Mr. Madden.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I did there. That's where you need the squiggly equals. Mr. Madden, what have you got for us, pal?
Well, mine is a brand new show on his very network, of which Jeff is a part of.
And you're not?
No, I'm not. So that's even more reason to listen to it. One show I'm not on. So there you go. The comic show. We have hosted by Mr. Dr. Happy Mac himself with Kelly Gamont, Jeff... Obviously, Jeff Gamut, and Paul Kakao. I learned to say his name properly now. He told me off.
Oh.
And they talk about comics. Like, I'm a casual comic fan, and it's not like news and stuff like that. It's just like a load of people interested in the same thing, just chatting, and it's really enjoyable to listen to. Jeff, it's a good show.
I'm glad you like it. Thanks for listening. And that's awesome. We're having lots of fun doing it. Yeah.
What I love about that show is that Dr. Happy Mac sends me the show with nothing else and figures I'm going to listen to the entire show before I post it. Dude, you got to send me a synopsis. I need to know what's going on a little bit.
Kind of knowing that you don't listen to the entire show.
Before posting, I'm talking about. I do listen to the entire show before posting. Yeah, you're going to put something in. Thank you. I've just realised.
No, 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 I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
squirrel.
No, no idea. No idea.
That's a great show. I enjoy it much.
It is. It's brand new on the show. We're also going to have a new show coming up called the Drone Show, which will be all about unmanned aerial vehicles and all that kind of stuff. Darren Griffin's going to do that with me, and a guy who bought my helicopter this week says he'll do it with me, so...
The last little segment of the show isn't cool thingies, it's cool injuries.
Yeah, no, a few scars. I've still got scars. See, I've still got my scar there. Look. My cool thing, I'm not a great gamer, I have to say. I pick the odd game up that I really like. I'm into Assassin's Creed and that kind of stuff. And I like my sniper games. And one that's come out a couple of weeks ago that I've been playing is Sniper 2 Ghost Warrior on the Xbox. And I love it. It is great. I love my sniper games, but this one is a really good sniper game because you get paired up with a spotter as well who goes around with you and calls out the shots and things like that, and it's really good. It's 40 quid, I think, it cost me, so there you go. Not very exciting, but I can't pick iOS 7 because I've got to keep that for
tomorrow. Sure you can. This is your show, you.
No, I can't. It's Apple Free Zone. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
You can find me on... you can't find me on Snapchat. I'll
oh, no, no, no. Sorry, I've got to stop. Before you say that, I've got another thing to do. I nearly forgot. I have got Bash to do. I've forgotten Bash entirely. I wanted to big up Ian Grant. Ian Grant is... turn it off and back on again on Twitter, at TOIBOA. And he's doing a run for prostate cancer research. If you go to justgiving.com/Ian-Grant2, then he will he'll instruct you on there how to go about donating for him. Please give him a couple of quid if you've got some, and it all goes to cancer research. 40,000 men in the UK alone each year are diagnosed with prostate cancer, so it's a big old thing. And thanks to people like Cancer Research, it means that it's very curable. And I had the wonderful time looking after Bob Monkhouse at a function for a company I used to work for many years ago, and he was a lovely, lovely guy, and he died of prostate cancer, and it was a sad loss well before his time. So please, please, please give something to Ian if you possibly can. And as James rightly says, we've got the Bash coming up. It is the 6th of July 2013. It is going to be a fantastic day because kind of things have really snowballed in last week. Got the caterer books, no problem. 12 South have sent through a little pile of goodies, and there's going to be some fantastic giveaways on the day. We've got an FIA-sanctioned Space Hopper Grand Prix that will take place, and there'll be heats for that. We've got Top Trumps World Championships, which will be played while we're doing the whole thing. We've got all the podcasts going on. We've got the World Card Cutting Championships as well are taking place. That's a knockout tournament. And we've got the caterer book. She does fantastic food. And today we can confirm that Wood Farm Breweries, who make specialist beers that are all rugby-oriented, have sent through 3 9-gallon casks for us to drink. So there's 72 pints in each one, so there's 210 pints to drink between us all.
That's Carl's. What are we all having?
So it is real. It is happening. I'm now looking for ways of trying to cool down cask ales. If anyone's got any suggestions, please send it through. If you want to come to the Bash, there's going to be a ton of beer. There's going to be a ton of food. There's going to be loads of fun to be had. Lots of people who are like-minded and well up for having good fun. Please buy a ticket at britishshownetwork.com. Yes, mate.
It's the 6th of July. Just put it outside, mate.
Right, good point. Good point.
Very funny.
In the sunlight. There's also a curry the night before on the 5th. The banner that's underneath the one on the for the Bash will give you that. It's a £10 deposit. That secures your seat and you get £10 off your meal and beer that you drink the night before. So we're currently up to about 30 people for that, so we should be taking over the entire restaurant effectively. And we're officially well past the attendance figures for last year's Bash. So it's bigger and better than ever. Get your ticket. Come along. If you're umming and ahhing, now's the time, because you've only got 3 weeks left and we'll be doing it. 3 weeks' time, it'll be the night before the curry. Wow.
Is the Queen still coming?
The Queen is not coming. No, Jeff Gamet's coming instead.
But I don't have a dress to wear, so it's not quite like being the Queen.
Ah, that's why the no pants thing, because you wear skirts, got you.
Princess Bagel's coming, isn't
she? So Princess Bagel's coming. Batwench's coming. There's a lot of people in the chat room are coming. Dan Griffin's coming up. You're coming down for the curry, aren't you, Gaz?
I'm coming up for the curry. Yeah, I've got a sevens tournament on the Saturday, unfortunately.
You fooled you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be at a rugby club drinking beer with you, don't worry.
When are who getting their website back up? Says Batwinch. She's got an inflatable paddling pool she can bring. I'm not sure whether that's about the beer or not, but never mind.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever floats your keg.
If we can fill it with ice, I can see me ending up buying about 300 quid's worth of bloody ice on the day. Right, where can we get a hold of you? James Hart.
I've run out of clever things to say. To be honest with you, I've been on Twitter now for probably about 5 years, and I still quite like it, so there's good enough for me. Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y.
We like it. You can stick
and I do a radio show on Mint FM on a Tuesday evening.
Late Night Loaf, you've got to listen to it. Well done, mate.
It's a bit silly.
Twitter out. Get you. Now, I sang The Look of Love last week, I thought, on one of the podcasts. And I think I actually sang Poison Arrow instead. I think I made a cock-up.
Tell me.
So, yeah, I need to listen to it again, but I think that I may have sung the best-known song in the world.
It was Poison Arrow, wasn't it?
It was Poison Arrow.
Yeah.
The Look of Love.
The best-known song in the world is actually Poison Arrow, not Look of Love, according to me. Jeff, where are you, sir?
Other than in the middle of the fire zone, I'm also at macobserver.com and Twitter and app.net. I am Jay Gamut both places. And I'm at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about all the stuff that happens in coffee shops. And it's all ridiculous and it's all true.
Excellent, mate. Take care. Be safe, please, pal, with all that out there. I hope you're not nowhere near it, and you never will be safe.
I'm safe from this one. It's just lots of ash and smoke that's okay. Coming in on me.
Good news. Dude, there's someone in your hall behind you.
Yeah.
Someone's just appeared in the mirror.
They are in the house.
Ooh. Oh, right.
Don't there they are again. They're all the going. Closet.
Man, every time I look back, they're not there.
Holy shit.
All right, so my assumption is that there. At this point, you're just taking the piss with me?
No, there is someone there. There's someone there. He's a bald guy with glasses.
Oh, well, then that would probably be my dad, who happens to be here right now.
All right, okay, fair enough then. It's a shame there's no story, isn't it? You'd love a ghost.
That would be awesome.
Sarah, where are you, Mrs.?
Well, I'm here. At Sarah Jane UK on the Twitters, and increasingly also on Google+.
Excellent, Mrs. Thank you. And Gaz...
Nice and easy. On the Twitters, Gazmaz, and you can go over to gazmaz.com where you'll find links and pictures and videos and stuff.
Excellent. I look forward to your video on Monday morning for correcting it. I can't wait after your long walk.
All right. Yeah, yes. Thank you very much. Yes, you will get one.
My quick tip for you, mate, is what did you capture that? What was the second? Was that a 5 second lag?
No, it was 2 seconds.
No, I'd go for one, mate. You need a few more there, and you can always speed it up and slow it down.
Okay. I'll give it a go.
Always capture more stills, mate. And turn it down to 5 megapixels as well.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
You don't need the 11. Carl, where are you, bud?
You can get me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on Google+, especially in the communities where we've got the BTN communities.
They're
and we have
fab,
some
dude.
Good conversations in there.
They're excellent. It's actually a reason to use Google+.
Exactly.
You've saved Google+ single-handedly, mate, by creating our communities. If you haven't gone to them, you should. Go and sign up to the Google+ communities. We'll put a link in the show notes. But even if you just put in The Mac Show, The Big Show, you should get the community's choice up, shouldn't you, in the search. So, excellent job.
I've had some chats about that, actually, haven't we?
Yeah. We'll stick a link on the homepage as well, I think. We'll do a Gmail kind of, or a Google+ symbol-y type thing, I think. That'll go to one of each.
And you can get me on virtually any show on the network at the moment as well.
Apart from the comic show, which is fab.
Yes.
You're doing another comic show, aren't you, this week? Kend? Jeff? Soon?
We have another one scheduled. I can't remember exactly when it is. It's in the next day or two when we'll be recording.
I couldn't find a picture to go with the Crimson Butler.
No That's matter probably how hard the best.
I tried. Yes. I got a picture of Jarvis with the Avengers, but that was it. We'll be back again next week. It'll be probably Thursday. Who knows? I'm going to be more organised from this week going forwards, I promise, honest. We'll keep to where we're supposed to be. Back again to the Mac Show tomorrow. There won't be a photo show tomorrow because I've got a thing to do with my cousin. Because it's been a bit of a tough week with him. But we'll do it the following week. There we go. And then it's the Bash. You've got to buy your ticket for the Bash. Come to the Bash. Thanks for listening.